In honor of our Savior Jesus, please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, let's try this. Alleluia, Christ is risen and reigning. Man, you're awesome. And that's the truth. 40 days after he rose from the grave, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that's at work toward us, as we just heard in Ephesians, 40 days, he ascended into heaven. He went to the right hand of the throne of God. He ascended into heaven in flesh and blood, visibly for the disciples to see. And the angel said, "He'll be back." And we don't know when. If it's before we leave today, praise the Lord. Later today, the same, tomorrow, we don't know. But he said he'll return. So what's he doing now? What's going on with Jesus now? What's he doing? Is he in retirement? Playing golf all the time? And so he ascended. Can you say up, up, up? Up, up, and away. Yeah. And yet he's promised to never leave nor forsake. He is with us, journeying with us, taking care of us. And what's an amazing thing to me is what Paul said in our epistle reading. He said that Jesus was seated and he will reign until all his enemies are underneath his footstool. I mean, it's really amazing to think about what Jesus right now is doing. How did Paul say it? "And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Jesus is taking care of everything for the sake of us, the church. I don't know about you, but sometimes as a pastor, I sound more like Eeyore. How's it going? Not so good. It's been a lot of work. Can't seem to figure things out. And you know, you sound the same way in your life, right? How's it going? Not so good. I mean, how many ways do we look at our life and we think to ourselves, gosh, this isn't working so good? Moms, how often? It's not working so good. And yet, we hear this truth, and it's more than just a liturgical step along the way. Christ is risen and reigning, and he is over all things for the sake of the church, the last enterprise in this world that should be moping about. Well, you, me, because Christ is in charge. And he's over all things. He hasn't forgotten about us. He's not retired somewhere. He's involved. You know, I like doing this on Ascension Sunday, and I would like to invite you to follow along. Psalm 2. It's on page 448. Psalm 2. Let's see what Jesus is about right now. Psalm 2. Page 448 in our Pew Bible. And, you know, we're going to do some parts in this psalm, and I want you to be the nations. I want you to be the kings. I want you to be the peoples. So you'll get your part here. You'll get your role. We'll work through the psalm. And in the first part of the psalm, it goes this way. Are you ready? Are you ready? Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage? Now, you've got to have an attitude when you do your part. You ready? Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his Messiah, saying, yeah, not bad. This is the attitude of the world toward God. As far as the world is concerned, across the peoples, the nations, the languages, they don't want anything to do with God. It's like they don't want anything to do with God. They don't want his rules. They don't want his ways. I mean, they don't want anything to do with the one who is the author of all life, the giver of all good gifts. As far as they're concerned, they don't want anything to do with God. They don't want God to have anything to do with them. No wonder the world is hurting so bad. Look, if you don't want God's love and forgiveness, if you don't want his gospel, all you get is his law. And in the law, all you get is his wrath. And so what's the nations doing? Setting themselves up for all kinds of bad heartburn. But what does God do? He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. You know, when I was a little kid, my sisters and I, you know, we had a Norwegian mother who was, you know, are you familiar with Norwegian mothers? I mean, you gotta love them. But sometimes she just wouldn't do what we would want her to do, and so we would say things to her. And we had a plan one day, and we said to her, we probably said this a lot, except for it didn't work, but when you get old, we're not going to cook for you. And she would say, that's fine. You know, and then the Rolofson kids would say, we're running away. And she would smile and say, that's fine. So, you know, now the Rolofson kids have to, you know, own up to what they said. So we walked to the north part of the property, this big rock, and we sat there, right, until we got hungry. And then we came home. And I'm sure my mom just got a kick out of us, you know, and she just kind of matter-of-factly would say no and smile. But God is different here. You know, he is giving the world the most best, awesomest gift, his crazy love in Christ, and the world doesn't want it. And so all the world gets, if they don't get that, is the derision of God. It's like they lock themselves out of all the goodness of God. And then he says this, and this is where I'm going to be the Son of God. Oh, someone's got to be the narrator. Well, the narrator says, verse 5, then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, now, you can be God. Go ahead. As for me, okay, stop. Now the psalm shifts, And now we hear a conversation between the Father and the Son. I'll be the Son, you be the Father. Okay, you ready? And here's where we hear this beautiful exchange. Okay, so I'll be the Son, you be the Father. I will tell you of the decree the Lord said to me. Okay, so here's what the Son heard from the Father. God in his economy had this conversation. I will give you the nations. I will give you an iron scepter to rule and reign over them. Now, this has been a prophecy. This has been promised from eternity, you could say. But when in time was this granted? In the ascension, 40 days. I know, he said to the thief, today you will be with me in paradise. Okay, I know, and that's the truth. God is just blowing our mind today. But here we have the fulfillment of this 40 days after the resurrection. You know, how much of what we see across the nations and the peoples and the language is just Jesus ruling and reigning with his iron scepter, dashing for the purpose of the church's ministry of sharing the gospel? How much? How much of what is happening right now in North Korea is just Jesus at work doing his good and gracious will so that the church can make a difference? How do we know? We don't know. All we know is that all authority in heaven and earth was given to Jesus. And unfortunately, the world doesn't like it. And so how many of these human councils are held? In how many ways do the people that do not know of God's love and forgiveness still call their assemblies and say, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us? How many ways? And yet, their efforts in the end won't work because the king has been installed. And Jesus is now risen and reigning. Alleluia, Christ is risen and reigning. So now we hear in this psalm, verse 10, kind of this is like the shot fired across the bow of nation and people and races, even homes, households. And so here's, you know, and we call all this the kingdom of the left doctrine in the Lutheran church. This is the rule of God in time, in temporal matters, across the races and the nations. Verse 10, now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. You know, dads and moms. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. So the world's been warned. The nations have been warned. Now, where's the church in all of this? So we've looked at the kingdom of the left across the ages. But then there's the kingdom of the right, the church. So to those who do not know what it means to be forgiven and loved, they just see a wrathful king they want to rebel against and push off the throne. Sometimes we want to do that too. But here's the church in Psalm 2. Let's read that last sentence together. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. That's us. That's the church. That's all who believe in the forgiveness of sins. Not only do we know that Jesus is risen and reigning, but we can jump in his lap on the throne, pull his beard, kiss his jaw, and ask him to hold us and forgive us and to love us. What's Jesus doing now? He's taking care of us. He's providing a safe place for us to live and move and have our being. We can say to him anytime we need to, hide me in your holy wounds. Heal my heart and mind with your love. That's what Jesus is doing now. He is king over all. And he's also the one who is our refuge and strength. It's hard to see these things in the world around us. And I'm here to remind you of it today, this good news for you. And I need the reminder as well myself, because sometimes I just sound like Eeyore. Why settle for that? How about Eeyore? No more. You know, Christ is at work in your life every day. He's at work among us. It's so cool to see how our leaders are seeing the value of truth and honesty and integrity and transparency. That's what it's about. Jesus at work. Jesus managing all things for the sake of his mission and ministry through us. What's his work today? Working in and through us his will and pleasure. That's your life. That's my life. Today, moms, we celebrate you and the unique gift you are and what you do by the Lord's design across all your life, as long as you are called mother. And we celebrate our identity, but more than anything else, we celebrate what our Lord is doing to care for us, to walk with us and to help us and to love us. And what a gift it is to have a refuge in him. Alleluia, Christ is risen and reigning. Alleluia.